we were there 32, we were there 27 years. We started with 32 people. I got out kind of in the real world of jobs. I sold suits in a clothing store in Monmouth. I worked in an alcohol and drug rehab place, and then I started substitute teaching at Monmouth High School. And that gave contacts, multiple contacts, that I'd never had before. And to this day, if I repastored, I was there 27 years ago, I said, if I went back and pastored, I'd get out there a lot more. I like being out there with non-Christians. My wife and I have made a commitment that one-third of our closest intimate personal friends aren't believers. We build relationships and do things and find things. So. But it's interesting, she introduced me as Dr. Monk. I don't have a doctor. My son, he's a pastor, and I started writing a book on small town churches a number of years ago, and he said to me one day, Dad, if you have 6 free hours a week, do you write your book or do you fish? Well, that's a no-brainer. I fish. I told my wife when I married her, it was God first, fishing second, her third. Well, anyway, I love to fish. In fact, I was almost going to go out yesterday afternoon and walk on water and see if I could catch a few and drill some holes, but I didn't do it. But anyway, he said to me, then go back and get a doctorate. I said, why? I don't need a doctorate. He said, you'll have to write a dissertation and it'll force you to write your book. But I haven't done that yet. So about 3.5 years ago, or a little over 3 years ago, I started teaching at Quad City Christian School. I taught English and speech. And then, in fact, every student, you younger students here, don't you get through high school without taking speech. It's the most important class you'll ever take. Because you have to present yourself the rest of your life. And then the Bible teacher, retired, the 11th and 12th grade Bible teacher, so I got that for 1 year. And then last year, the 7th through 10th grade Bible teacher retired, so I have 7th through 12th grade Bible. And it was interesting, what you just looked at in Matthew 4, we were just in the other day, in every one of the temptations of Jesus Christ, in every one, he answered with the Word of God. When Satan tempts you, know the Word of God and quote it back to Satan. That's a Christ. Very interesting response to all three temptations there. So, well, before we start, I want to tell you a story. Did you hear about the grandfather that took his grandson to church, and as they walked in, he gave him a dollar bill, and he says, we're going to take an offering for the poor in the service today. And when they took the offering, the kid didn't put the dollar in, and the grandfather said to himself, I'm really upset with my grandson. When we get out of his church, I'm going to chew him up for not putting that dollar in. Well, after church, they went through the line and greeted the pastor. And the kid pulled the dollar out and gave it to the preacher, and the preacher paused and he said, hey, this isn't for me, this is for the poor. And the grandson said, well, my grandfather here says you're the poorest preacher he ever heard. I told that joke in a church up in Wisconsin where we're going to retire, because nobody will retire in the South. 20 below zero is a perfect day. You didn't know that? I shouldn't say that in light of this past week, but I love cold weather. And I got $4 after that church service. So, here we go. I want to share with you my favorite passage of scripture, because I'm just filling for Jerry and I'm envying him a little bit. A little over a year ago in November, I was in Israel. Never had been there. My son was taking a trip, an opening came. School let me off for 2 weeks, and I went to Israel. And very fascinated to be there. And actually, we had a girl in fourth grade with us, and we were out on Sea of Galilee. So I told her, the Lord walked on this, why don't you? She wouldn't do it. Anyway, we tried. Some of the things I work on. I wanted to look at a tell you something when I preach, and I've preached for years and years and years. I love to preach the Word of God because it's God's Word, not mine. I'm scared to preach the Word of God because it's God's Word, not mine. And both those emotions take place every time I preach the Word of God. So before we look into God's Word today, let's look to the very one who wrote it. Let's look to God himself. Heavenly Father, this is your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Use your word today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I would like you to take your Bibles and turn to a passage of Scripture that is not common. It's in the Old Testament called Hosea. It is my favorite book of the Bible. And you'll understand why when we get done today. The Old Testament is very easy to understand. It's historical books, Genesis to Esther. It's poetical books, Job to Song of Solomon. It's prophetical books, Isaiah to the end. So the Old Testament's history, poets, prophets. Easy to understand. And this is one of the prophets. It's called the Minor Prophet, but most of the prophets didn't give new revelation. What most of the prophets did was speak out to the people of Israel, God's chosen people. And he would say, remember the covenant given to Moses. If you obey me, you'll stay in the land I've given you, but if you don't, I'm going to take you into captivity. Now, after King Solomon, Israel divided into half and had civil war. The north was called Israel, the south was called Judah, and the north was taken into captivity in 722 BC by the Assyrians. Now, I do a thing called a walk through the Bible. You could do the whole Testament in about 12 minutes. It's easy. I'll give you an overview. And then in 606 BC, the southern kingdom was taken into captivity by the then ruling power of Babylon under a king that you know, Nebuchadnezzar. Well, we're now in the northern kingdom, and Hosea is a prophet to the north. And he's saying, stay right with God, and he's out preaching. So let's look at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 and 3. The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. Let's talk about the sacred raisin cakes. That was part of ungodly worship, of Baal worship. That's why that's in there. So you probably wonder what that's all about. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethic of barley. And I told her, you are to live with me for many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man. And I will live. I want you to hold on to that because we're going to get to that text. One of the literary phenomena of the 1960s was Eric Siegel's, some of you weren't even around in the 1960s, was Eric Siegel's book, Love Story. In that, it was on TV and more people saw that than anybody had seen any television show in history. Time magazine had an article on Love Story and it said, as long as people are in love with love, and as long as the world loves a lover, there will always be a place for love story and stories like it. Emerson said, all the world loves a lover. But the best love story of Scripture is that of the prophet Hosea. It differs little from other love stories. It's a story of a broken vow and a broken home, a broken heart and a broken life. Yet it is utterly unique. We have ignored it in our churches. We've clipped it out of our Sunday school lessons. We don't talk about it much anymore. And yet God has taken this sad, sordid love story to reveal his heart and to show his love. The setting is in the city of Samaria, which is now the capital of the north. And Hosea is a young preacher. He's out preaching day in and day out. And then God comes to him and speaks to him and says, I want you to marry a woman of the streets. And her name is, and don't you dare name any of your daughters this name, because you will equate it with a private in the Marines, but her name was Gomer. Don't you dare name your daughter, but that was her name. And she was part of the easygoing lifestyle. And I think Hosea thought she had changed. And he thought she was the lily of the valley and his favorite love song, the Song of Solomon. But time showed that she had not changed. And yet she's the preacher's wife. And I'm going to be honest with you, the preacher's life is blessed or belasted by the woman that he marries. And he just thought she had changed. Now, Hosea may have been out too busy preaching. He'd been preaching judgment to the nation of Israel. He had been gone many nights and many days preaching, calling people to God. And perhaps she thought it was stupid what he was doing. So Gomer, bit by bit, went back to her old way of life. And now Hosea comes home with a heavier burden than he had about the nation of Israel, his marriage. And night after night, he went to God. I need help. He brought his burden to the Lord. And he believed God answered his burden. For Gomer was pregnant. And he thought that God would take one little chubby hand of that baby and pull him over. And take another chubby hand of that baby and pull her over and bring them back together. He named his children with significance. The first child was named Jezreel. It means to cast something aside and throw something out. Now, it's interesting, there was a city called Jezreel, and that's where the wicked queen Jezebel was thrown out of the roof and died on the ground and eaten up by dogs. And every time he would call Jezreel from play, it would ring in the ears of the people, and they know God judges. So he used his children with their names to get the heart of the people. And he went to Gomer. And I am convinced she cried hot tears and made deep promises. But the tears were never hot enough, nor were the promises deep enough. She did not change. They had a second child, Lo Ruhamah, a little girl. That word means I will have no mercy. And then they had a third child, a little boy, called Lo Ruhamah. And that word means not my people or no kin of mine. He began to realize that all three children born into his home were not his children at all. She had gone back to her old way of life. And she lived like this. Yeah. Hosea still loved her. She may have left his home, but she hadn't left his heart. And I picture Hosea coming home at night, putting those three little ones to bed, praying childish prayers for them, and praying for their mother. Now, it's very interesting. I can hear the gossip. The preacher's wife is gone. The preacher's wife has left him. Of course he deserves that. He's out preaching to us. He didn't spend enough time at home. They had all the excuses. But you know what Hosea did? He found out the man with whom Gomer was living. She left him for another man. Actually, men. And he found the man she was living with. And he went to that house and he knocked on the door. And the guy opens the door, and Hosea says, are you living with Gomer, the daughter to buy, and then I could pick and say, so what if I am? And he said, well, I'm her husband. And I am picturing right there, the man's ready for a fight, and Hosea says, I'm not here to fight you. And he reaches into his pocket and pulls out gold and silver, and he says, will you pay for her and buy for her the things she needs and wants? You say, Pastor Mark, that doesn't sound logical. But love is not always acting according to logic. It's acting according to love. Love has reasons that cannot be reasoned and understandings that cannot be understood. And he loved her deeply no matter what she did. We find this in chapter 2 if you're in your Bibles. Notice verse 5. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers. My lovers who gave me my food, my water, my wool, my linen, my oil, my drink. Go to verse 8. She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine, and the oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold which they used for Baal. God opposed to God. In other words, she got all of this stuff from the money that he provided and didn't even know that it had come from Hosea. Before you become disturbed with Gomer, it's the part that you and I have played with God all of our lives. We get the bounties of life. We get food, clothing, shelter, cars, from whom all blessings flow. And we thank our friends, and we thank our bosses, and we thank the strength of our own right hand, and forget to praise God from whom all blessings flow. We've pulled from God in our thinking. And we think he's left our lives. And he taps us on the shoulder, and he says, all I want for you is your highest good. And you run through the swamps of sinfulness, and the forests of despair, and over mountains of rebellion, and say, God's out of my life. And all of a sudden, there's a tap on our shoulder. I've pursued you through a shortcut that only love knows well. And the question I'm going to ask you today, does God love you just like Hosea loved Gomer? And the Bible overwhelmingly says, absolutely yes. God gives man metal in the mind, and he gives force to us, and he gives man the skill to make that metal into spikes, and he gives man the skill to take those forks and to put it into a cross. And when I was in Israel, and I think Jerry might see this, maybe I'm supposed to use Jerry, Pastor Higdon might see this, I don't know what words I'm supposed to use, but we saw a cross when we were in Bethlehem, actually. It's not like what he was seeing. It comes out in all sorts of directions with Christ was placed on that cross. One arm came out here, and one was like this, and one wasn't fully long, and it wasn't nice and smoothly cut, and those pieces of wood just gouged into our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The question is, does God love us just like this? Yes, man formed metal and man formed wood and put Jesus Christ on the cross for you and for me. He indeed loves us just like that. But folks, Gomer did not change. And so in chapter 2, verse 15, he gets her alone for a while. That is Hosea. And he says, verse 15, there I will give her back her vineyards, and I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Achor means troubles. If you go through some troubles, Gomer, maybe you'll come back to me. And I think sometimes God does that to us. If you go through some difficulties, finally you come back. A number of years ago, I preached a series of messages out of the book of Judges, which is so much like the United States of America. It's the best book on the United States of America. When everything's going well, we forget God. And then troubles come. Oh, God, I need you. And the nation of Israel got back in order with God by using a judge, and then things got good. And guess what happened in Judges? While they were good, they forgot the Lord. And he had to raise up another judge, seven cycles in this book. The problem is America's in that good cycle, and we're forgetting the Lord. and struggles. If you ever invite me back again, I'd love to preach a message on the sovereignty of God. For I remember my wife at 31 years old, having had a disease for about 10 years, was taken to a hospital the night before we were at the mall. And this was, that was a Thursday night. On Friday, we took her to the hospital. And by 1:30, she had a fatal heart attack. I lost my wife. You go through struggles, you look to the Lord. But when we come to chapter 3 and the saga, and I like to talk about this book as the saga of redemption, you find that poor Gomer is not on the phone with the hand of someone that didn't want her, but finally someone that didn't care for her at all. And in their culture, you could sell your wife or mistress at an auction for money. And guess what? There's an auction. And guess who's being sold? Gomer. And guess who comes to the auction? Hosea. And I can hear the buzz of the crowd as he walks in. They say, he's come to see her get her just desserts, to see her punished. And that wasn't his motive at all. Here she's standing there. And they bid on her. And someone says, I'll give you 10 pieces of silver. Another one says, and Hosea says, I'll give you 12 pieces of silver. Someone says, I'll give you 15 pieces of silver. And someone over here says, I'll give you 15 and a half pieces of silver. And Hosea says, I'll give you 15 pieces of silver and a bushel and a half a bushel of barley. And the gavel sounds, and he buys her back. And he says to her, I ask you to be faithful to me because I love you and because I've purchased you. But whether you are or not, I will be faithful to you. And you look at me and say, why? How? And the answer is, Hosea was playing the part with Gomer that God has been playing with you and me all of our lives. And so what I want to do to conclude my message today is there are two lessons that come from this ancient prophet that speaks to us in 2019. I don't know your hearts, people, as little ones or as older ones. But to those of us who have come to know God personally by faith in Jesus Christ, he's saying in verse 3, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or intimate with any man, and I will live for you. What you would not do for me, because you are a purchased possession, I ask you to be faithful to me. But whether you are faithful or not, I will be faithful to you. And dear folks, that's the great note that sounds throughout all of Scripture. Whether we are faithful to God, he is faithful to us. You see, God does not love us because of us. God loves us in spite of us. And he has redeemed us at great cost. And having been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are to respond, and this is my big point, in love and worship and praise and service. Peter says it like this, I'm not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Paul says, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies. Dear folks, if you sacrificed your life on the mission field, little ones here, or high school kids, if you get out of high school and you sacrificed your life on the mission field, God would not love you any more than he loves you right now. If you gave all the money that you have to the needs of people, God would not love you any more than he loves you. He loves you deeply. He has redeemed you. He's bought you out of the marketplace of sin. So, we are to respond in worship and service and love and prayer. And if ever, as Christians, we forget this, we've lost the great dynamic of the Christian faith. And here's the big idea. You want a big idea if you're taking notes? We don't serve God to be redeemed. We serve God because we've been redeemed. You see that? I think we've lost sight of it. I think we think God's in heaven, making a list, checking it twice. Oh, they were in church today. Check. Oh, they read their Bible today. Check. Oh, they prayed today. Check. I do not live my Christian life for any other reason than out of a thank you to God for granting me the free gift of eternal life. You see, I don't serve God to be redeemed. I serve God because I've been redeemed. What Hosea is asking Gomer is to be faithful to him, but whether she is or not, he will be faithful to her. That's love. When I was a little kid, I'm 39 now, but when I was a little kid, thank you, we used to sing a song. It goes like this. After all he's done for me, after all he's done for me, how can I do less than give him my best after all he's done for me? So first lesson is that those who know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, we serve God not to be redeemed. We serve God because we've been redeemed. And that's the reason for living the Christian life. If there are any here who have never come to know God by faith in Christ, you might cry out, where is God? But I don't find him. And the answer is, God is not lost. You are. See, God has pursued you up a hill called Golgotha, and has pursued you through the tunnel of an empty tomb. And down through life reaches out and taps you on the shoulder and says, I love you. For you see, God not only redeems us, but if you haven't trusted Christ, he pursues us. There's only two big ideas here. He's redeemed us in Jesus Christ. If we haven't come to know Christ, he's pursuing us. There's a story though. Young couple fell in love. He was from Chicago, she was from Kentucky. And they got married. 3 years of a wonderful marriage, and then one day she got very sick, and they placed her in the hospital in Chicago. She was there for quite some time, over a month, and finally brought her home, and physically she was fine, but mentally she wasn't, and she'd scream out in the middle of the night. And so he went to the doctor and said, what should I do? And he says, perhaps if you move out into the suburbs and move into a different place, it'll help. And they did, and it didn't. So the doctor says, perhaps if you take her to her old Kentucky home, the memories will help. So they drove down to Kentucky. They walk through the house, and there's all the memories like cobwebs hanging. And they walk through the cowslips and the violets in bloom, and nothing seemed to help. And very discouraged, he got her back in the car, and they drove back to Chicago. But when they got on the outskirts of Chicago, he looked over, and for the first time in his life, in this marriage, he saw how deeply she was in sleep. And he pulled by in the driveway, and he came out of his side, closed his door quietly, came over, opened her door, picked her up and carried her, and brought her into the house and set her on the bed and sat by her bedside all night long. And the morning sun awakened her. And she looked at him. And she said, honey, I seem to have been on a journey. Where have you been? And out of a heart of love, he said, I've been right here, waiting for you all this time. come to know him by faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know where you folks are. If you do know him, then serve him, not to be redeemed, but because you've been redeemed. If you don't know, he's right here, waiting for you to come to know him. Do you see why I like Hosea? It's the motivation to live the Christian life. Because God infinitely, unmeasurably loves me. Not because of me, but in spite of me. And he loved me so much that he sent his son to die that I might have eternal life and the forgiveness of sin. That's how much he loves you. I would like, I know you have a closing, but I want you to learn this book of Hosea. And I want you to go home today and say, I am infinitely, unmeasurably loved by Almighty God. And God just didn't say it, he showed it. In giving me his son, Jesus Christ. Like Hosea loved God, God loves us. And I'd like to finish with one of my favorite songs. Can we do this? It goes like this. Jesus loves me. This I know. How do I know? It makes me feel different? No. Because 66 books of the revealed heart of God tell me so. It's deep theologically. And we sing it as a little kid song, don't we? Jesus loves me, this I know. For God's word reveals to me and tells me so. Can you sing it with me?
Jesus loves me, this I know. For
And thank you that you loved us so much that you sent a Savior to die for us. And thus we can serve you, not to be redeemed, but because we've been redeemed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Spend a few minutes reading.